Troy Murray joins us once again. Troy, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Good, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, anytime. Appreciate you coming on. I guess let's start with the story of the year offensively in Patrick Kane. He's always been pretty good offensively, but, man, he's taken his game to a whole new level so far this year.
Yeah, he it's been impressive this year. I mean, you got to figure, I mean, the streak obviously is incredible. There's only two games the entire season that he doesn't have at least a point. He's been really focused, and obviously there was some off-season issues that could have easily been a distraction. But I think his focus was on what he needed to do to prepare himself for the season. And, boy, he's been good since day one. And for the Blackhawks right now, that the entire line of Anisimov, Panarin, and Patrick Kane has been kind of the one story that the Blackhawks have had as a constant all season long.
And two players he had never played with before. Anisimov came over in the trade with Saad, and then Panarin, of course, the free agent out of the KHL. And, you know, a lot of people are kind of joking that he's a mini Patrick Kane. You've seen him every game. What's the best part about his game, and do you see comparisons? Are they fair to say he's like Patrick Kane?
There's a lot of similarities. If you kind of look at it, he's about a mirror image as far as, you know, stature. He's a right-handed. Patrick Kane is a left-handed player. But the way they see the ice, the vision, the one-on-one skills that Panarin has is incredible. And, you know, he was highly touted as the KHL's Patrick Kane. And, boy, I haven't really been disappointed, obviously, the way that he's played this year. And for that line to be as successful since basically day one, Anisimov coming in, and the Blackhawks have always kind of looked for that stability behind Jonathan Toews down the middle. Anisimov has been really good this season. And Panarin, boy, just incredible skill. And how those two guys kind of read off each other and the chemistry that they have without speaking the same language has been pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's the funny part. I was reading an article how Panarin actually has an app that he can translate all the articles into English or into his native tongue, so he understands it. Is he taking English speaking? Is he trying to, has his English improved? Because I do know a lot of those Euros, they come here and within a few months, man, their English is so much better.
Well, I think, he certainly improved since he came here. He basically didn't have any understanding of the English language when he came over here. Victor Tikhonov, who was put on waivers a couple of days ago and picked up by Arizona, very good friends. Tikhonov was born in San Jose. He's from San Jose, so he speaks better English than I do. He's kind of the buffer between Panarin and everything else. So, with him gone, I think it's going to be a little bit more responsibility for Panarin to learn the language as quickly as possible. But I think, like all of them that you speak to, they understand a little bit more than they lead on sometimes. And Panarin's got a real good sense of humor. And sometimes when you don't think he understands what's going on, he'll throw a quick one-liner at you, and you'll go like, wow, okay, he understands what's going on. Really good kid. Love his attitude, and he's in a short time become very good friends, very close with Patrick Kane. I think that's kind of, you know, the guy that he's looking for to help him out in all situations. They hang out together as much as possible. You always see him kind of tagging along with Patrick Kane around the locker room. And it's been a real nice fit. And then certainly for the Blackhawks looking for some offense in the lineup this year, Panarin has produced that.
Troy Murray, analyst for the Chicago Blackhawks, joins us. Troy, it was interesting. We were talking yesterday about, you know, coaches who really like to match lines at times, and Marian Hossa is one that Troy Quenneville, as much as he can, tries to get him out against the other team's third-pairing defenders, and, he has a lot of success with it. You've watched the Hawks now for so many years, and you see Joel Quenneville, and, sometimes, you hear that maybe players get tired of the message from the coach. That definitely doesn't seem to be the case in Chicago. I'm assuming that means they're good leaders and there's good communication, but what is it about Quenneville that he does to keep his team fresh all the time?
I believe what Joel Quenneville is so good at and probably underrated as a head coach. You look at his record, you look at his numbers, and you look at, the ability of the team to sustain that competitive level year after year. He manages his players extremely well. And when you have a locker room that has a real strong core group of guys inside there, there is very few times that you actually have to come in there and tell the players what they need to do or come in and read them the riot act. You got to trust guys like Jonathan Toews, Brent Seabrook, Duncan Keith, Marian Hossa to kind of put the ship in the right direction when they don't have a good game or a good period. And Joel Quenneville obviously has an understanding that this group of guys has played a ton of hockey here in the last, you know, bunch of years. And he gives the Blackhawks more time off than any other team in the National Hockey League. And I think now even when you look at the new collective bargaining agreement, the players want these days off. And it was kind of disappointing for Joel Quenneville because those were already days that he gave his team off. And he gets rewarded because the players appreciate the time off. They know that they, if they come to the rink and work hard, he's an excellent motivator as far as what he needs to do to have the players ready. But there's a lot of trust between the players and the coach, and I think that's kind of one of the key things, that he lets the locker room breathe when it needs to breathe, and when he needs to send a message, he goes in and does it. But at the same time, it's not very often that Joel Quenneville has to go in there and push the right buttons because of that core group of guys inside the locker.
Now, the Hawks are in the toughest division in hockey right now. The Dallas Stars are playing fantastic. You got Nashville, you got St. Louis, you got Minnesota. They're going to be in a dogfight for sure. As we get now to the middle of the December, we're getting closer and closer to the trade deadline. Do you see an area that Stan Bowman will try to augment on his team? Not saying they're missing anything, that there's an area maybe they just want to improve. What would it be?
Yeah, Jason, it's not as deep of a team as it has been in the past, so with NHL experience. And, you know, obviously with the situation with Brian Bickle, you look at the beginning of the season, you said, okay, well, Teravainen possibly is going to be the third-line center. Maybe, you know, he fits in somewhere else. But you expect him to have that progress from where he finished off last year, which was tremendous in that series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. You certainly factor Brian Bickle into the top, you know, three lines on your hockey team, and at certain times he can play on the top line. So, you know, there were some issues that they kind of thought that they would have solidified. You picked up guys like Ryan Garbutt and losing Brandon Saad, Trevor Daley, along with Mark O'Donnell added to the roster. You thought that Trevor Daley was going to be a Johnny Oduya, you know, swap as far as the positioning there. But if you look at the things that have happened here, you know, there's been some inconsistencies. And Joel Quenneville, the way that he's rotated his lines, other than the Anisimov line, they're still looking for some depth up front. The hard thing for the Blackhawks is they don't have a lot of cap space. And I know that they'd love to find somebody on the blue line there to kind of bolster, you know, the top six maybe, or at least to have another comfort level that you saw last year when a couple guys went down in the playoffs, that you didn't have a lot of depth to fill in those spots behind the top four. So if I'm Stan Bowman, I'm thinking that he's looking for a quality four to kind of complement top three lines, and you're looking for depth on defense. And, you know, they've rotated a lot of guys from Rockford into Chicago. Dennis Rasmussen is going to make his NHL debut tonight. Tanner Carroll just went back to Rockford. He was doing fairly well. So they're looking for some pieces of the puzzle, and I think as you move along here, there's still going to be work in progress as far as what Stan will be looking for at the trade deadline.
Yeah, you know, experience, and you know what? The funny thing is right now, because there's really not a lot of discrepancy from the basement team in every division to the last playoff spot. You know, in the Pacific Division, it's 6 points. In every other division, it's seven or six even. So right now, you know, there's not a lot of teams that think they're completely out of it. I'm sure as we get closer to March, that will change. But, you know, the cap situation is obviously one of the things that hinders the Hawks. And I guess on that note, Brian Bickle and the other one was the young Russian who was put on waivers. What wasn't happening with Tikhonov in Chicago?
Well, I think for Tikhonov, a little different situation from Brian Bickle. You know, he's still a guy that doesn't have a lot of NHL experience, and Joel Quenneville, you know, right now there's not a lot of room for experiments with the Blackhawks as far as, you know, you need to have points, and you look for experience in the lineup. He did have some opportunities, and I don't think he played poorly, but when you get in that lineup, you might not have another opportunity. You might not get a second game, so you got to make something happen. And you know, Tikhonov has a great attitude. I'll tell you what, I don't have any complaints about Mr. Tikhonov. He came here, he worked extremely hard. He's a great young man. He's got skill, and I think there's a confidence level. And you know, maybe in Arizona, he's going to get that opportunity to play a little bit more. And find his way a little bit. It's tough to play in the NHL. I mean, you're sitting in Edmonton and you're watching some of these great young talented players. It's tough to play in the NHL. And, you know, it's just not an easy thing. And for Brian Bickle, you know, for whatever reason, he lost his confidence. And He had to bring a physical element to the Blackhawks. The one thing that he has on his side that the rest of the roster really doesn't have is the ability to play a heavy game, 6'4", 235 pounds. And he's got to bring that element to the game. And you saw how valuable he was in some of the playoff runs for the Blackhawks to win cups. But he just didn't have that consistency in his game. And Quenneville, you know, sat him out a couple of times, tried to get him to have his head on a straight understanding of what he needs to do to be a successful player on this roster and in the NHL. And he just wasn't getting it done in a lot of ways. And if, you know, if you're Brian Bickell, it's a wake-up call. He was put on waivers at the beginning of the season, and that's always kind of an embarrassment for an established NHL player. And he went down there and he played extremely well, and he's going to get another opportunity here tonight. He had 7 hits in that game last night. I think everybody saw him deliver that hit to Dustin Byfuglien, and that doesn't happen very often where he destroyed Big Buff. And, you know, he brings that element to the game, but he's got to bring it each and every time he's out there on the ice. There's no easy games for the Blackhawks, and there's no way out for some of these players right now.
Troy, always good to catch up with you. The Hawks, as always, a very entertaining team, and this year maybe even a little bit more. Patrick Kane with more points in his 22-game point streak than everybody else has in the entire NHL all season long. He has been absolutely on fire. You throw in Panarin and a young rookie who's averaging a point a game, and we still have that Taves kid who's not bad. So an entertaining team, as always, in the toughest division in hockey, man, because the Central Division right now, like, you're going to – like, home ice advantage could be extremely crucial, and I think you're going to have all those teams fighting all the way right till the end of the season to get it.
Well, and Colorado's playing, you know, better as of late, and they pick up some valuable points. And Winnipeg's a good hockey team. I think they surprised some people last year how good they were to make the, you know, the last wild card spot. They haven't gone anywhere. Minnesota is a good hockey team. You mentioned everybody else in the division. Nashville, the Blackhawks have a home-and-home here tonight, Thursday night, and then Winnipeg comes back in to the United Center. The one thing that the Blackhawks need to do, they're 2-3-2, I think, in the Central Division. It needs to get a lot better in that area within their division if they want to make some headway and get into the postseason, because you just don't see any of these teams in the Central Division letting up right now. And as you mentioned, Jason, this is going to be a battle from start to finish this year to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's funny. The Hawks have 27. They're in fifth place right now in their division, which would be the wild card, and the Jets are breathing down their necks. So you're right, though. They'll have to improve within their division. Troy, always great to catch up with you. We'll see you soon.
Jason, thanks for having me on. Much appreciated.